Good morning. It means so much to me, Mariela, and the rest of the team. You know, as the time has gone, we've been really trying to discern together with the leadership what the Lord is saying. And it's amazing how God has really made his voice clear to us, and to have the blessing of Pastor Chuck and Pastor Noah and so many others, leaders in this church who have been part of my story. Because when I got born again about 13 some years ago, from the first day, this church has been part of my journey. And for me to stand here and see the grace of God and the generosity of a family that loves us and a leadership that blesses us, that is a tremendous blessing to my heart, because I know it is the work of the Lord. Amen. I want to just, you know, share what is on my heart for this morning. And, you know, I believe with all of my heart that God wants to speak through my heart a message to the church. I mean, what a powerful video of the indigenous people of the land saying that, you know, we literally forgave those who didn't even ask for it. And that was something that really touched my heart. And I believe that God is doing that in a generation that has a heart that is after God's own heart. And I want to really honor Pastor Noah and Pastor Chuck. And once again, I want to honor, you know, Mary and Ken that are right now at vacation in Myrtle Beach. And there's so many others. I mean, when I, you know, got saved, you know, just a decade ago, and I never forget, you know, I came to the U.S. I had no clue what to expect. I could hardly speak any English. Now, some of you might think I still don't know how to speak English, but back then, my English was horrible. I could hardly speak English, and I was studying, and Mary Kay was one of my teachers, and she did not give me any grace, you know. She just said, I don't care what you speak, you better do your homework. So, you know, Mary was helping me, driving him around to the gym, to the classes, to church, and just, you know, me going through my ups and downs, trying to figure out this Christian life. I came from a lifestyle of drugs and crimes, and for 22 years, I've never been to church, and so I just didn't understand what it meant to be a Christian. And for 1 year, this church and family walked with me and loved me, and of course, you know, in the last 13 years, you still have walked with me, loved us, sold into our family financially. I mean, we are just amazed. I mean, you know, I didn't even ask for this, and yet you guys keep on blessing us and blessing the church, and we want to bless you back. Amen. So please, as we gonna continue with this church plant, we are not departing or leaving the church, because you got to understand that the kingdom of God is based on relationships. It's not just based on ministries. It is based on relationships. So even though we might be, you know, other side of, you know, I don't know, another county, Summit County, I think they call it. If we are on that side, yeah, I want you to understand that we still want to be a blessing to you. And we pray relationally also that you can be a blessing to us. Because, come on, Christ is not divided. Amen. We serve the same God. We are baptized with the same Holy Spirit in the same baptism. Whether we are blacks or whites, or whether we are brown like me, or whether we are, you know, Baptist or Pentecostal or charismatic, we're all part of one Jesus Christ. And he's the one who has broken down all the walls of separation and broken down all the walls of hostility. And he has made in one man the two to become one, which is through Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and also your Savior. I want to share what is on my heart this morning, and I believe with all of my heart that you're going to be blessed. This is a message that God gave to me many, 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 many years ago. And it's amazing how God been stirring this message in my heart, because I believe with all of my heart. Now, I know Paul said it. I know Peter wrote about it. I know people talk about it. I believe that we are part of the end time generation. Amen? Amen. Listen, there's chaos going around the whole world. But I believe with all of my heart that in the midst of darkness, that we as the church, we're going to shine very bright. And I believe that God's going to usher in with his second coming, one of the greatest harvests that we have ever witnessed on the face of the planet. And so I don't want to take much time, but I want to share a testimony with you that's going to lead me into my message. Because back in 2007, you know, I had just come home from a discipleship training school. After I left, you know, High Mel to go back to Sweden, I started a little group that kind of was a sovereign move of God. About 40 people started to join the group, and it was really exploding. And Then God said, I'm jealous about your time because you're more busy with ministry than actually ministering to me. And so I had to leave from Sweden to Africa. And of course, it was to meet Jesus, but I also ended up meeting my beautiful wife, Mariella. So God works in mysterious ways, amen? And so I met her and came back, but in my heart, I was so hungry for God. I was tired of traditions. I still am. I was tired of religion. I just wanted to have an encounter with Jesus that would transform my life forever, because I recognized that if I don't have a living encounter with the presence of God, my life will not be transformed. And so this longing that was in my heart led me into this season of seeking after God. David said that, God, you say, seek my face. And my heart also says, your face will I seek. So I didn't complain about it. I didn't murmur about it. I just went deeper into the presence of God, which led me into a season of encounters. Me and Mariela came home from a conference, about 14,000 people in this conference, and we were very blessed. But when I came home, I had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit, and he gave me a vision that I'm going to share. This vision that's going to be almost a foundation to my message. And in this vision, when I was lying in my bed about somewhere between 1 and 3 a.m. in the morning, suddenly this person appeared, and this is not what I've been writing about in the book, but this person appeared on the left side of my bed. He was totally consumed with fire. I could not see his appearance. All I could feel was the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this person that was standing next to me suddenly went from the side of me, consuming. How many of you know that God is a consuming fire? He went into my bosom, and for hours I was lying in the presence, undone in the glory of God, because I knew that a holy God, once again in this season of visitation, had opened up the heavens and he had come down. And then I had an encounter when I was taken from my bedroom into the heavens. When I'm saying the heavens, I'm not talking about the third heaven, the paradise of God where Paul was caught up to. I'm talking about where the stars, the moons, and the sun is. I'm talking about the universe. But when I was standing in heaven from my room, and suddenly I was in heaven, I was looking on the planet Earth, and what I saw shocked me. The whole planet Earth was covered with fire. The whole earth was covered with fire. And I said in my heart, I said, God, is this the fire of your judgment? And the Lord says, no, this is the fire of my love. And when I looked at it, suddenly from being in the heavens, I was taken to my room. And then the Lord started to speak to me about the knowledge of the glory of God that one day will cover the whole earth as the water covered the sea. And it started to speak to me that what happened in the book of Acts chapter 2 that started with about 120 people that later on touched 3,000 and then 5,000 and now have touched about thousands of people and million people around the whole world. That knowledge, that fire of Pentecost in the last day, in our generation, I believe with all of my heart will cover the whole earth as the water covered the sea. And the reason being, not that we will have bigger churches, not that we will have entertainment in the church. I believe that God is setting the whole church on fire because he wants to see the greatest harvest that mankind has ever seen for the glory of his son, Jesus Christ. And so God started to speak to me about a generation that he's raising up. Because I promise you that the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former house. What we have seen in the past and what we have read in the history and what we have observed God do in generations that is behind us, I want to tell you that their ceiling is our foundation. And we're going to see a great move of God. And I'm not just talking about Identity Church. I'm talking about High Male Church of Resurrection. I'm talking about every single church in this city. Because I believe with all of my heart that in this last day, God is not pouring out his fullness of his power upon one personality. Those days are over, my friends. He's not going to pour it on charisma. He's not going to pour it on entertainment. He's not just going to pour it on one church or one organization. Neither is he going to pour it on a denomination. But I believe with all of my heart that through unity and partnership within the body of Christ, we have the potential of seeing the fire of God cover the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. Come on, are you guys? I'm from Africa. You better talk to me. And I want to tell you something, beloved saints, you get to be part of that move. It's the body of Jesus. Even the most insignificant part of that body that we recognize as insignificant, the Bible says is significant in the eyes of God. Every single one of you is needed in this outpouring, because I believe me when I say this, Pastor Noah said this a long time ago, and I'm going to say it again. You see, you need me and I need you. Come on, everybody say, we need the body of Christ. So if you're wondering how can Noah and Pastor Chuck and others bless us and send us out, it's because they love the harvest. It's because they don't want to deal with church politics. And I want to tell you with all of my heart, in this generation, I believe with all of my heart that we're going to see great harvest, because it is written in the Word of God. And so God started to speak to me from the Word of God, and I'm going to talk to you about what God is wanting to do from the book of Joel. Now we know in Joel 2, 28, it says that in the last day, when Joel was looking hundreds of years into the future and prophesying about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he said, in our day I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord, upon all flesh. There it is again. Everybody say, all flesh. Everybody say, I'm included. Because he says that your sons and your daughter, they shall prophesy. So when the Holy Spirit come, I want to tell you, we are a prophetic generation. A forerunning generation. A generation who doesn't understand church politics. All we see is people burning, and we want to snatch them from the fire for the glory of God. And so he says that your sons, they will have your young men would see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Why will they see vision and why will they dream dreams? Because when the prophetic comes, we will understand the heart of God and the mind of God and the nature of God and the character of God. And when we understand who God is, we are not misrepresenting God, but we're representing God to a world. And when they see Jesus, they're going to say yes. When they say Kevin, they will say no. But when they see Jesus... Come on, how many of you have encountered Jesus? 13 years ago, I had no interest in church. Zero. But I met Jesus. And Jesus gave me a heart for the church. Jesus worked in my heart, and I'm committed to his bride, because I recognize that she is not perfect. She has a lot of problems. But the Bible says that Jesus is committed to his bride. And he said, I will prepare for myself. Come on, a bride that is with no wrinkle, no spot. And if Jesus said it, you better know that I believe it. So it doesn't matter how much mess we have in the church. Jesus is working behind the scenes. Can you say amen? And then he says this. Because we know in Acts 2, when the outpouring of the Spirit of God came at the day of Pentecost, and they started to speak in tongues, the Spirit of God gave them utterance, and then Peter stood up because everybody thought they were drunk. Am I going too fast? Then Peter said, they are not drunk as you supposed. Come on, they are just filled with the Holy Ghost. And in that moment, he referred back to what Joel referred to, which was, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That means that God is not a respecter of persons. Isn't that good? God is not a respecter of persons. You know, on my fridge for a long time, I had this sticker that said, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. You better see the Lord like that. Now, I know that is theologically wrong, because I know for God so loved the world. He loves Pastor Noah and Pastor Chuck. He loves all of us the same. But he can make you feel so loved that you can be as bold as John, the beloved disciple, who said, I am the disciple that God himself loved the most. You can feel like that too, amen? And this generation that God is raising up, they have no fear. They are not fear of men. They will not look to the right nor to the left. They see only one thing, and that is Jesus. Because perfect love casts out fear. Amen? And then he started to speak to me from the book of Joel, chapter 2. And before I do share this, I want you to understand that I'm not trying to lay a theological argument this morning. Amen? Because I'm not a theologian, as you have discovered. Neither am I trying to make some doctrinal points. Because as I'm talking about the parallels and the principles that we can find in the book of Joel chapter 2 about this army, I know that Joel, when he's prophesying, he's talking about an army of locusts that have come in to devour the land. And I know that he's talking about the judgment that came because of disobedience in the land on Judah as a kingdom. But I believe with all of my heart that as you continue to read in chapter 2 from verse 12, even though there is a prophetic picture, but there's a judgment in the land where the priest and the people of the land, where they fast and they weep and they literally stand in the gap like the native Indians are doing for our nation, I believe it is the only place where God would come and heal our wounds. He will not come when we fight against one another, guys. He come when we carry the ministry of reconciliation. Amen? That's what's going to take place when God pours out His Spirit even more in these last days. And so I want you to understand that I'm not trying to say that this is a prophetic picture of the end time generation. I'm just pulling some parallels and some principles from the poetic and the prophetic style of the writing of Joel. Amen? And so it says in chapter 2, verse 1 and 3, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. It says, like a morning cloud spread over the mountains, a people come, great and strong. A people come, they shall be great and strong. And when I was reading this, I started to understand that there is a principle here that the Lord wants to show the body of Christ, because when God's going to pour out His Spirit and the fire of Pentecost will cover the whole earth as the waters cover the sea, God is calling you and I to be a great people, a host of company of nations that will be strong, full of the Spirit and full of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. They will be strong, strong in the Lord, strong in the power of His might. And they will understand that the weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. They pull down offense. They pull down arguments. They pull down unforgiveness. They pull down strongholds, because this army have their hearts soaked in the presence of Jesus. Come on, guys. Can you say amen? I'm preaching better than some of you saying amen as usual, huh? But I know you love me, and that's the most important thing. And it says like this, guys, look at this. It says, like whom has never been, like whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. Now, how many of you know that the Lord is saving the best for the last? You might look at yourself and say, God, am I the best that you have? What about Elijah? What about Moses? What about John Wesley? What about Charles Finney? What about those giants that you had in the past? You mean that you have saved you and I, us, for the last generation? You betcha. Come on, He has. You have to believe that God has saved the best for the last. You might feel unqualified, but how many of you know that it is not your talents and your giftings, it is your attitude and how you respond to that calling? Because many are called, but few are chosen. Why is few chosen? Because few dare to believe that God can use them. Everybody say, here I am, Lord. Send me. With my problems and insecurities, with my lack of joy and all the stuff that we face on a daily basis, God, I know I might not have the ability, but thank God that I'm available to you in Jesus Christ. And so when God is talking about saving the last, the best for the last, He's not talking about the wine. Because how many of you know that God never changes? He said, I am the Lord that changeth not. Come on, He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. So when He was speaking, Jesus, about wine and wineskin, He said, you do not put new wine into old wineskin. So if we are afraid of change, I'm sorry. Are you guys with me? Because when God comes, He's looking, not for new wine, because the Holy Spirit remained the same. He's looking for new wineskins. Because even though God's principles never changes with every generation, but His method will always change. And so you and I need to discover the wineskin that God is looking for. And I'm not saying that high male that have existed for 40 years is the old wineskin. Amen? Because the wineskin is not the building. It is our heart. It is our attitude in how we respond to the Lord. And that's why I say that I believe with all of my heart that God is doing something new in His body. And we as the church can become the very wineskin that can contain the presence and the glory of Jesus. Because we've been leaking His glory, not in a good way, but in the wrong way for too many years. So we just come to church to get a little bit from God rather than being overflow all the time so we can make an impact on a dying world. And then it says this. It says, a fire devours before them, and behind them a flames burn. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. You know why I called our ministry Flames of Passion? Because you will never find Kevin passive. It's not flames of passivity. It's flames of passion. Do you know why? Because I know that when you're soaked in the presence of the Holy Spirit, you will never stop burning for God. 13 years ago, they said to me, calm down. You're too loud. You jump around. You shout all the time. Calm down. What's wrong with you? And even today, people look at me and they say, you're crazy. I don't understand your style. You shout. You run around. But yet God uses me. Do you know why? Because I have made a determination that from the time that I wake up to the time that I go to sleep, the name that is on my lip is the name of Jesus. And no one can take that away from me. No one. Because I don't understand church politics. I never meant to be involved in church politics. I'm called to reach and harvest, and so are you. Can you say amen? Amen? And so this generation is burning with the presence of God. It's more than speaking in tongues. I love speaking in tongues. Amen? I'm talking about the fire of Pentecost. I'm talking about prophecy, speaking in tongues, burning, boldness, holiness, righteousness, purity, sanctification in our heart to literally not defile ourselves with the things of this world because we have kept ourselves for Jesus Christ. That's the generation God is raising up, young and old, male and female. If you have a breath in your lungs, you are part of the generation. See, this is not a generation who are backed down because it says that the land is like the Garden of Eden before them and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. See, this is not a Moses generation. We love what God has done through Pastor Chuck and so many others in the body of Christ that He has called as pillars who have laid a foundation for us young people and so many others in this church. But I want to tell you, this is not a Moses generation. This is a Joshua generation. Because the Moses generation had the wilderness before them and they had Egypt behind them. But here it says that this generation would have the promised land before them. And the wilderness behind it. The Moses generation was a surviving generation, but the Joshua generation is a conquering generation. We don't see giants, we see grapes. Everybody say, grasshoppers do not eat grapes. I stole that one from T.D. Jakes, that's okay. Only man and woman with another spirit who understand the promise of God, that God has given the enemy as bread unto them, those who see possibility, those who always not have a problem for every solution, but for a generation who hears God and dare to believe God for the impossible. That's what you and I are called to, amen? To see shift in America. Come on, it's happening, guys. God is working behind the scenes. I want to tell you, God always have the last say. Isn't it good to have Jesus on your side? Some people is like, man, are you going to go out there by yourself? I said, no. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus said, I will never leave nor forsake you. My presence would always be with you. The reason Moses was great, Joshua was great, all of us is because of God. He is the greatness behind us. A couple of more minutes. Are you guys okay? Let me say something about Moses and Joshua. See, in Joshua chapter 1, it says, after Moses, my servant, my servant, had died. When he died, God spoke to Joshua. And God spoke to Joshua and he said, be bold, Joshua. Be courageous, Joshua. He said, do not be afraid of their faces, what they will say to you. Don't look to the right nor to the left, but heed my word. Why did God say this to Joshua? Because God knew that as Joshua stand in his position as a leader, there will be opposition. Come on, I'm speaking right now from the Spirit of God. There will be opposition. Because I believe also I have the Holy Spirit. And if you're afraid of being controversial, if you're afraid of persecution, if you're afraid of rejection, step out of the ministry because you don't belong in it. Because every time you want to do something for God, there will always be people who will criticize you or ostracize you because they will never understand what God is saying because they don't hear God like you have heard God. But how many of you know we bless when we're being cursed, amen? And we go forward with the blessing of the Lord because we know that when we walk to the other side, we together can lead people from the place of bondage into the place of deliverance. In Joel 2:7, it says this, that they run like mighty men. When I was reading this, I was thinking of the mighty men of David. Because I said, God, what kind of generation is this? Because the people that hang around David was a bunch of crooks. Come on, it's like misfits of today. I'm drug addicts and all kinds of kind of people that we look down to in a generation, that we look down to a society. Those were the kind of people that came around David. But when they came around the mighty anointing of David, something of David ran on their own lives and they were called the mighty men of David. What about us if we spend time around the presence of Jesus? Come on, you might be a prostitute, but God will make you a saint. Amen. You might be a drug addict and God will deliver you just like me, set you free and put you in the highway of holiness so you can proclaim his goodness. See, God can make something out of our lives if we spend time with him, amen? And he says that they run like mighty men. You know what they do? It says that they climb the wall like the men of war. And this generation is not people that are gonna give up because somebody slaps them in the face. I get slaps quite often, okay? It's okay. But let me tell you, I'm fixed on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. See, I thought about it. I said, God, am I seeking understanding? He said, no. I said, are you sure? He said, because if you sought understanding, then why are you even walking with me? I never called you to be understood. I called you to be obedient. God is calling us, you. Us, high male, all the churches, to be obedient to the voice of God because obedience is better than sacrifice. And then he says this, that this is what I want to slow down. Do I have a couple of more minutes? I want to slow down and I want you to listen to this. It says that everyone marches in formation. They do not break ranks, neither do they push one another. But everyone marches in his own highway. This is a generation that understands her identity. I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about our identity in Christ. Because, listen, there's so much fighting of who is who in the Christian zoo. Who cares? And sometimes people want to get distressed. Listen, the kingdom of God is as a man that put his hand to the plow and is not looking back. I'm too busy snatching people from the fire in my own lane to look up and see who's running before me and who's past me in this race. Because all of us have been given a grace. I've been given a grace. Pastor Noah has been given a grace. You have been given a grace. We all have been called according to Ephesians 4, according to the measure of the Christ's grace and the gift that he given to us to run our race. Are you guys with me? So this generation will not push one another. They will bless one another. They will love one another. They will honor one another. They are not intimidated about one another. It's not about who has the microphone because every one of them understand the calling of the Lord upon their life and their agenda is not their own kingdom, but it's about the kingdom of God. That's what God is doing. That's why we're being prayed for this morning so that we can do this together. Amen. And I thought about this. I said, God, is this my vision? Because God gave the vision to me. He said, this is not about you, Kevin. I said, you sure? He said, I'm very sure. Because when I start to travel around, I start to see that God has given the same vision to many individuals, churches, and denominations around the world. And it says in Joel chapter 2, verse 11, that the Lord gives voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word. That means that this is the army of the Lord. Come on. The Lord, strong and, come on, mighty. He's mighty in battle. This is the army of the Lord. Listen, no man's finger is going to be on this. No person's name, no one going to have ownership of this. It's not High Mail, it's not Identity Church. It's no church in the body of Christ. This is going to be the army of Jesus Christ. And he's going to get all the glory, amen? Some of you are looking at me again like a deer in a headlight, but that's okay. I'm going to end with this, and I'm going to ask the worship team to please come forward. Thank you, Josh, and the rest of the wonderful team. I want to end with this. Listen, I know we face difficulties, but the key to everything is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Amen? The author and the finisher of our faith. And so my message today was and still is that you and I would get a purpose in our hearts why we come to church. See, I've realized that just because I stand in a parking or just because I stand in a car garage, it doesn't make me a car. Isn't that the truth? In the same way, because we go to church, that doesn't make us a Christians. So when we come to God, when we come to church, how many of you know that God called us to purpose? And when you and I stand before him, I want to tell you, he doesn't want to ask us, what did you do with it? And you're going to say, I buried it. He's not going to say, did you bury it? He's going to say, did you multiply it? Were you faithful with what I gave to you as individuals, as families, as churches, as cities, and as nations? So we're going to together invest in our city. We're going to together invest in our nation because we want to be faithful with what God has called us to. I want to please ask you to stand to your feet because I want to end with this. Because I believe with all of my heart that God is not looking with people that are concerned with church politics. They don't care so much about what is in for them to gain. Because it says in Psalm 110 verse 3, it says that your people, God's people, they shall volunteer in the day of your power. They will do what? They will volunteer. They will volunteer. You know, 10 years ago, we had no supporters. No one that was really giving us any form of funds. We had no churches really behind us. 10 years ago, we felt in our hearts, we have to go to the mission field. And that call took us to the soul of Africa for 7 years. And 45 nations later, I still don't earn a salary. But let me tell you this, I volunteered. Money comes, praise God, because I need some money, amen? But I want to tell you, I volunteered because I knew that where God calls, he provides. And this morning, God is looking for volunteers. God is looking for those who want to serve him with no string attached. Those who have unconditional love for him and that are willing to say yes to the harvest field. I know that you might feel, man, are you preaching about the harvest in the morning like this? Yes! Because it is all about the harvest, amen? It's all about reaching the lost at any cost. But if you feel in your heart that you want to say yes and you want to say, God, every weight that I have on my shoulders, everything that I have picked up, everything that becomes a stumbling block in my own life and heart for me, seeing your vision for the body of Christ, seeing the harvest, I want to lay it down at the cross. I'm not going to individually pray for you, but I want to do a corporate prayer for us as the church. And I believe that the power of God is going to come and it's going to break strongholds in Jesus' name. Because this is an individual call, and as we respond to it, we have a corporate call in Jesus' name. Amen? If you felt God spoke to your heart and you want to say yes to that army, you want to say yes to that call, I want you to come to the altar in Jesus' name. 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 reaching the harvest, reaching the lost, reaching those who need Jesus, reaching those who are hurting, reaching those who are in pain, reaching those who need the love of Christ, reaching those whom Jesus died for on the cross, and saying, God, I lay my life down for you, for your gospel. I'm not gonna look to the right, I'm not gonna look to the left, I'm gonna say yes. I'm gonna say yes, because I love you and I love your body. Look at this, how many people are responding?